64. Glocking. "Score some shit," said Brown, sounding like he'd rehearsed the line as he handed Milgram a fold of colorful foreign bills. They were shiny and crisp, decked with metallic holograms and, it looked to Milgram, printed circuitry. Milgram, in the passenger seat of the Taurus, looked over at Brown. "Excuse me?" "Shit," said Brown. "Dope." "Dope? Find me a dealer. Not some corner guy. Somebody in the business." Milgram looked out at the street they were parked on. Five-story brick Edwardian retail structures, lacquered with the unhappiness of crack or heroin. The fuckedness quotient, way up, down in this part of town.
"But what are you trying to buy?"
"Drugs," said Brown.
"Drugs?"
Milgram repeated. "You have 300 and a wallet with no ID. If you get picked up, I don't know you. You get picked up, you forget the passport you came in on. How you got here, me, everything. Give them your real name. I'll get you out eventually, but if you try to screw me, you're in there for good. And if you can get the guy to do the deal in a parking garage, that's a major plus."
"I've never been here before," said Milgram. "I don't even know if this is the right street."
"Are you kidding? Look at it."
"I know," Milgram said, "but a local would know what's going on this week. Today. Is this where the biz is, or did the police just shift it three blocks south? Like that."
"You look," said Brown, "like a junkie. You'll do fine."
"I'm not known. I might be mistaken for an informant."
"Out," ordered Brown. Milgram got out, the foreign cash folded in his palm. He looked down the street. Every shop boarded up. Plywood, papered with rain-wrinkled multiples of film and concert posters. He decided it would be best to behave as though he were shopping for his own flavor of pharmaceuticals. This would up his authenticity immediately, he thought, as he knew what to ask for, and that the units would be pills. This way, if he actually managed to buy something, it might even turn out to be worth keeping. The day suddenly seemed brighter, this foreign but oddly familiar street more interesting. Allowing himself to forget Brown almost entirely, he strolled along with a new energy. An hour and 40 minutes later, having been offered 3 different shades of heroin, cocaine, crack, meth, Percodan, and marijuana buds, he found himself closing a transaction for 30 Valium 10s at 5 each. He had no idea whether these would prove genuine, or if they even existed, but he had an expert's conviction that he was being asked, as an obvious tourist, to pay at least twice the going rate. Having separated the 150 the seller required, he'd managed to slip the other half into the top of his left sock. He did things like this automatically when buying drugs, and no longer recalled any particular event having led to the adaptation of a given strategy. Skink, so called for the purpose of this transaction at least, was white, in his 30s perhaps, with vestigial skater fashion notes and a high, intricately tattooed turtleneck. Milgram assumed disguised some early and likely unfortunate choices in iconography. A cover-up, perhaps, of jail work. Visible neck or facial tattoos did serve, Milgram thought, to suggest that one probably wasn't a cop, but the jail look rang other, less comfortable bells. As noms of convenience went, skink wasn't particularly comforting either. Milgram wasn't quite sure what one was. Either reptilian or amphibian, he thought. Skink definitely wasn't the most reliable-looking retailer Milgram had come across in the course of his stroll along this diversely supplied thoroughfare, but he was the only one so far who'd responded positively to Milgram's request for Valium. Though he didn't, he said, have it on him. They seldom do, thought Milgram, though he nodded understandingly, indicating that he was okay with whatever Skink's arrangements might be. "Up the street here," Skink said, fiddling with the ring through the outer limit of his right eyebrow. Milgram always found these worrying. They seemed more prone to infection than things put through other more central, more traditional parts of the face. Milgram was a believer in evolution, and knew that evolution strongly favors bilateral symmetry.
Asymmetrical individuals tended to be less competitive in most species, though he had no intention of mentioning it to Skink.
"In here," said Skink portentously, stepping sideways into an entranceway.
He opened an aluminum-framed door whose original glass had been replaced with plywood.
"It's dark," protested Milgram, as Skink grabbed his shoulders, hauling him into a dense, ammoniac reek of urine.
Skink shoved him hard, and he fell back against what were all too obviously stairs, their painful impact complicated by a loud confusion of toppling bottles.
"Chill,"
Milgram quickly advised in abrupt darkness, Skink having shut the door behind him.
"Money's yours. Here."
Then Brown was through the door in a brief burst of sunlight. Milgram felt, rather than saw, Brown lift Skink bodily off his feet and drive him headfirst into the stairs, between Milgram's legs. A few more empties toppled from the stairs. An uncomfortably bright beam, recalled from the IF's room off Lafayette, darted clinically across the crumpled Skink. Brown bent, ran one hand over Skink's lower back, then, with a grunt of effort, used both hands to flip him over. Milgram saw Brown's spotlit hand unzipping the fly of Skink's saggy pants.
"Glock," said Brown, thickly, plucking, like some gross-out conjuring trick, a large pistol from Skink's open pants.
Then they were back on the street, the sunlight surreal now, getting back into the Taurus.
"Glock," Brown said again, pleased.
Milgram remembered then, and to his relief, that this was a make of gun.